know, worthy is the Lamb. Bible tells us God is love. That's why I had Dan read that particular passage. Title of the message is Love God, Love People. Love God, Love People. I just came up with that, by the way. I went in there and I said, are you recording this? And he said, yes. I said, well, I think you probably need a title. So I hadn't really thought about the title. But the Bible talks much about love. God describes himself as love. You know, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to go through some scripture at first. I don't have anything, obviously, on this. It's just God led and directed this morning, and that's just where I'm going, and I'm trusting him. You know, and you may just want to listen and just write down the references. but Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in the inner man through his Spirit, and that the Messiah may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love. You think about that. Rooted and firmly established in love. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length, width, height, and depth of God's love. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. We just talked about the length, breadth, depth of God's love. And then in Ephesians 5, it says, therefore, be imitators of God. We are to have this kind of love. Be imitators of God as dearly loved children and walk in love. That means our lifestyle. It's talking about how we live, how we operate, what we do, what we think, what we believe. How it manifests itself in our life. Walk in love as the Messiah also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. Turn a couple books, those of you that are trying to keep up with that. Ephesians 3, 12 through 14. Therefore, God's chosen ones, holy and loved, put on. This is us. We're the chosen ones. If you've named the name of Christ, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior and he dwells in your heart, you're the chosen one. You are a chosen one. And he says, therefore, God's chosen ones, holy and loved, you put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, accepting one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, put on love, the perfect bond of unity. It's Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Look at, going back the other way, 1 Corinthians. In 12, we get caught up in service, and we are to serve. I mean, there's no mistake about that. And there's much talk about spiritual gifts. And you know, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, we call them spiritual gifts. But I submit to you there's only one gift. It's the Holy Spirit. He's a gift. You don't earn him. You can't acquire him. You place your faith and trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. And when you do, the Holy Spirit comes to you and dwells in you. And what we call the gifts, that is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit working through you. Listen, you can't have mercy except the Holy Spirit worked through you that you would have mercy or compassion or gift of service or, you know, whatever your gift is, teacher, whatever. All those gifts. And Paul's talking about all these gifts. And those are manifest, you know, whenever you do anything in the name of the Lord, and if you're in line with the Lord, those gifts, that's not coming from you. That's the Holy Spirit manifesting himself in you and through you to accomplish his purpose for you. God has a purpose for you. And so Paul goes through all these gifts because it was a big deal with the Corinthian church, and they had corrupted the gifts. It was kind of self-serving, and they were saying, oh, I got a better gift. And it was all about pride and things like that. And he says, look, at the very end, he says, I'll show you a better way. I'll show you a better way. And, you know, I'm getting ready to go into this series in Hebrews, and it was supposed to start today. And God said, no, you're not starting today. Because I got something that's got to preface this. Because, you know, the whole context of the book of Hebrews is Jesus is better. He's better than the law. He's better than the priesthood. He's better than the angels. He's better than... And there's all these things he's better than. Because the Jews were being persuaded. The Christian Jews were being persuaded to go back. And so the writer of Hebrews was addressing it to them, saying, no, you don't go back. Jesus is better. It doesn't invalidate the law. He's better than the law. And he says here, I'm going to show you even a better way. Then he says in chapter 13, if I speak but do not have love, I'm noise. It's noise. Doesn't mean anything. If I have a gift of prophecy, if you have these gifts or whatever, or you have all knowledge, I mean, you could be the biggest Bible scholar in the world, and you don't have love, you're nothing. Nothing. And he says you can donate all your goods, and you can give up your body. If you don't have love, you gain nothing for it. No love. In verse 11 of this same chapter, I've always found this interesting. That in the middle, and he proceeds after those verses to tell you what love is, what love is not, what love does, what love doesn't do, all these things. And then he comes to 11 and he says, you know what? When I was a kid, thought like a kid, spoke like a kid, acted like a kid, whatever, reasoned like a kid. But when I became a man, I put aside childish things. Because you see, this kind of love here isn't the love you have in high school, or, you know, the kind of carnal love that our culture is built on, really, anymore. This is mature stuff. It's mature. You know, it's not, I love spaghetti. You know, I love my car. You know, I just went men's retreat. I love my pistol, you know. And it was pretty good. But this is mature. This is grown-up stuff. And then at the end he says, there's, you know, three main things, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Because you know what? When you get to heaven, there's no need for faith anymore. You know, what's our faith? Our faith is because of what Christ did on the cross, because I accepted that, because I put my faith in Him, go to heaven. Because I'm here and I'm not there yet. So I'm putting my faith. And you know what? My hope, or better word is confidence. My confidence is that all that stuff I just said was true. It's true. But you know what? When you get to heaven, don't need hope. Don't need faith. Because you're going to be there. You're going to be living it. You'll be in it. You'll be walking with the Savior. But love will still be there. Because God is love. And God is there. So love will be there. And I'm going to give you one more scripture in a minute. Then we're going to talk. I want you to think about something. Jesus had just been kind of in this thing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, I'll give you the reference in a minute, but I just don't want you to look there yet. I want you to listen. And the Sadducees had come up. They didn't believe in the resurrection. Okay? And that was one, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees really didn't get along too well. You know, a lot of people think they were just like this big team. No, they were only a team against Jesus. They had a common foe, so to speak. But they had a lot of differences in what they believed. And the thing that they always stumped the Pharisees with was this little story about a woman that was married, and then she died, and then she had these, like, the guy had like six brothers or seven brothers or something like that. And you know, in the Jewish culture, you know, if a woman doesn't have a child and the husband dies and the brother's supposed to marry her, that way, you know, she can have children. And then if he dies, then the next one and the next one. So they had this story about this woman that, you know, poor unlucky guys, they all, you know, married her and died. Okay? And then it got all the way to the last one, and he died. She never had kids. And then in the end, she dies. And then the Pharisees said, you know, the Sadducees would tell the Pharisees, so whose wife would she be in the resurrection? This was their proof that there is no resurrection. And Jesus says, you err. Scriptures don't teach this. You err. You've made a mistake. Because in heaven, you're not going to be married. You're going to be like the angels. Angels don't marry. They don't give and marry. They don't reproduce. You know, it's going to be a whole different thing. Now, I know here on earth, if you've had a good marriage and you really love that person, I mean, you'll think, oh, in heaven, I'll be with my husband, or I'll be with my wife, or I'll be with my kids. But you know, in heaven, we're going to look at each other totally differently. I mean, there's going to be love there. But it's not going to be the kind of relationships like we have here. It's going to be better. Okay? It's going to be better. Now, we may not think that because we're looking at it from this side. But trust me, it's going to be better. So he quieted. You know, the Sadducees had no answer. So the Pharisees are like, my goodness. He shut up the Sadducees. And so they're going to test him. And so they say, teacher, what's the greatest command? And I bet every one of you know the answer to this. You've read this. You've heard this. You know, and what is it? Love the Lord your God, right? With all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? And your neighbor is yourself, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, what did he say after that? What did he say after that? See, that's always where we stop. That's always where we stop. Because we go, oh yeah, I got these two commands down. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. In the same breath, he says this very important thing that I never put together until recently. I mean, don't feel bad. I never put it together. A lot of people never put it together. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. It's the same paragraph, same sentence, same thought. It's Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 40. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. This is the greatest, most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then he makes this profound statement. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. What are the law and the prophets? This. It's the Bible. It's the law and the prophets. And you know, you say, okay, well, New Testament. Well, the New Testament's full of prophecy and it's full of doctrine and teaching. It's what we're supposed to do. He's talking about what are we supposed to do? And we study this New Testament and we say, oh yeah, we're supposed to, you know, serve and use our gifts and do these things. But it all hangs on your love for God and your love for others. Your love for God and your love for others. And if you don't have that, you've lost it. It doesn't matter. Remember what I read in Corinthians? You could have all knowledge. All knowledge. If you don't have love for God and others, it's nothing. This is going to challenge us. So, how do we apply that to our life? Well, think about this. Start something real simple. It's a known fact. I don't know anything about you guys, what you do, purposely, okay? But it's a known fact that people in the church don't tithe. I mean, you know, some do, but a whole lot of people don't. They may give something, but a whole lot of people don't tithe. And that's just the numbers, you know, it's just numbers. Now, listen, I'm not complaining about you. I'm making a point, okay? I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. I'm making a point. Why don't we tithe? Or why do you tithe? I hope it's because you love God. Do you love God? Because if you say you do, then what did God say? If you love me, what? Keep my commands. And I just picked, that's an easy one, see, because that's just checkbook stuff. Okay? I'm not, you know, making light of, because I know many people hear sacrifice. I'm not making light of that. I'm just saying it's an easy one for us to grab a hold of because it's tangible. You know, it's something we all deal with. Let's pick something else. How about music? Why do you love the music you love? You know, they did a survey. It's very sad. They said, they did a survey of people like our age. Not excluding some of the younger ones that are here, but let's just say 60 and up. And up and up and up. For some of us, way up. Okay. Some of us are more up than others, right? But they did a survey. And they said, if it would get your grandchildren to come to church, would you change the music? Now, I'm not saying music should be the motive for anyone to come to church. I'm just saying that was the question. And you know, like 80-something percent said, no, I will not change the music. Now, who do they love? Do they love others? Because remember, part of it's loving God, part of it's loving others. So what they were saying was, I love my music the way I think it should be more than I love those people. That's what you're saying. That's what it boils down to, folks. That's what you're saying. Now, you may not think that way when you say that, because you say, you know, I've always worshipped with these songs. They mean so much to me. That's fine. I understand that. I've got my favorite songs, too. How about... I know I'm messing around with you guys. I know I'm getting in there. I'm digging. But you know, it isn't me. Listen, I did not want to do this morning. I already have a sermon in my folder back there. But God puts this stuff in your head. You got to do it. What about bitterness? The Bible says put away bitterness. Get rid of it. You know what bitterness is? It's you won't let someone off the hook. It's like they did something to you, they offended you in some way, they did something to somebody you loved or whatever, and they said, they came to a point where they said, forgive me. And you go, no, I'm not forgiving you. I'm going to hold it against you because you deserve it. Because you see, now what is it? Instead of loving that person, we're supposed to love God and love others, right? The whole law hangs on this. No, because I love my sense of justice more than I love you. That's what you're saying. Oh, I don't think you've paid enough price yet. Now, but if you love that person, for God so loved the world, he gave and he forgave, didn't he? If you ask him, he forgives, right? Because why? He loves you. There's a tremendous problem in our country today with pornography. And unfortunately, it's not restricted to the non-Christian. Gentlemen, you may say you love your wife, but if you do that, you're not loving your wife, and you're not loving God either. You're loving that more than them. It could be something as, you know, and it could be something as, and I've done this, okay, so I'm really ratting on myself. Wife wants me to do something, but I'm busy watching a football game. And my wife is smiling really big right now. She knows. She knows this is true. And I'm like, no, you know, can't you wait till halftime? You know, can't you wait till the end of the game? Of course, there's another game on after that I got to see. But what am I saying? I love football more than I love my wife. That's what it's saying. I mean, that's sort of a silly example, but you know what? It makes the point, don't it? Now I'm going to really mess with you. This has just been the easy stuff, believe it or not. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Do you love just sitting in your easy chair? Or going out and weeding your garden? Or what is it you love better than spending some time with God? What keeps you from God? What keeps you from spending time with God? Then I would say, whatever that is, you love more than you love God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, all of it. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Do you understand that that is the Ten Commandments in two phrases? Because the first part of the commandments is all about what? Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Don't have other idols, you know, and all those things. Make, you know, the Lord your God is holy, all these things. That's loving God. The other commandments, stealing, adultery, covetousness, murder, that's against people. It's against people. And when you love God, and when you love people, you fulfill this. You fulfill this. What about forgiveness? It's kind of related to bitterness, but it's a little different. You cannot forgive somebody and not be bitter against them. You just don't. When you're bitter, your whole world kind of rises and falls with them. Like if they're doing good, you're unhappy. If they're doing bad, you're pretty happy. Because you're bitter against them. Unforgiveness, you can just like, you know, I'm never going to forgive that guy. And then you don't even care what he's doing. You're just, you know, you just go and you do your thing. But God said what? He said forgive. Because you've been forgiven. And when we don't forgive, we are setting ourselves up in place of God. And we're saying, God, you're wrong. I don't have to forgive. Is that loving God? Is that obeying? Remember, loving God is hooked or connected to obeying His commands. Now, I mean, I've hit some areas, and I know kind of like a sledgehammer some of them, but we need to translate this into what we do. What is your motive? We just had an event on Thursday, the Food for Friends event. Good event. I mean, you know, a worthy event, an event we hope helps some people. But let me ask you a question. Those of you that, and I'm not putting the finger on anyone that, you know, just as an illustration, though, if you came to that event, why did you come? Did you come because the pastor asked you to? Did you come because you didn't have anything else to do on Thursday afternoon? So, you know, hey, I'll do something good, make myself feel better about myself. Or did you come because you love those people? Did you come because you love those people? Those of you that sing and play instruments and do that, why do you do what you do? Is it because, like in John's case, because a pastor asked him to come and lead it? And that does, you know, and I mean, I hope that does have influence at times, but hopefully that's not your motive. Why do you, whatever it is you do, whoever it is you serve, you know, and I'm not talking about a God-wise, but you know what? When we help one another, we're serving one another. You know, I know we have, you know, Barbara picks up, can't remember her name, good grief. What's her name, Barbara? Right next to you. Betty, thank you. Somebody else answered. But Barbara picks up Betty and brings her here. I hope it's because you love Betty. Amen. Amen. Whatever, you know, Lynn does our finances. I'm picking on people by name now. I'm getting bold, aren't I? But, you know, and it's a great service, and I'm glad she's here, believe me. But I hope she's doing it because she loves God and not because someone asked her to 5 years ago or whenever it was she started doing this, whatever. Whatsoever you eat, drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Right? And you know what? We need to examine our motives. Because God sees our heart. You know, why, you know, I'll put it on myself. Why am I here? You know, Harvey's like, I don't know why you're here. Sometimes I wonder why I'm here. But really, you know, to be honest, I didn't want to quit my job. fleshly speaking, you know, just, I mean, I did for other reasons, not godly reasons. I wanted to quit it because, you know, kind of didn't like what I was doing anymore, but, you know, a lot of issues with that. But, you know, God asked me to quit my job, and it was before I knew anything about this church, and I just quit because God told me to. And then when the opportunity came, this opportunity arose, I was obedient to my Lord because I love Him. And then once I get here, God begins to manifest love for y'all. And I try to, you know, I go to the hospital because I care for you. It's an interesting thing. I've been teaching parenting classes for over 20 years at the Rose of Sharon. And, well, we did it for years in New Mexico as well when I wasn't here. We taught them before we went to New Mexico here. And then we went to New Mexico, and my wife and another lady had kind of, the other lady had just started a center there in Aztec, and my wife was an integral part of that. And we started the parenting classes there, and I taught them there. My wife and I taught them. And then when we came back, she came back as director of the center, so immediately we started the parenting classes up again. And I've been teaching them over 20 years. And for a great number of those years, nobody got saved out of those parenting classes. This is just something God's brought to my attention. You know, I say that I didn't know I was going to preach this today, and that's true, but these concepts I've been mulling over for a few weeks. I just didn't know I was going to present it today until this morning. But for many, many of those years, I would present the plan of salvation, and you know, we might have had one or two over all that time that really prayed to receive Christ out of that. But something changed. Something changed. Because starting about 3 or 4 years ago, God did something in me where I started loving those girls. And I wasn't doing it. I wasn't doing the parenting class because it's a good thing to do, which it is. And I wasn't doing it because that's the program that was in place and they needed someone to teach it, which it did. But I started doing it because I cared for those girls and those young men that would come, the few that would come with the girls that got pregnant. And I was teaching the same material, and I preached the same message, and nobody's getting saved. Same guy, same setting, same program, same message. Little fruit. But there came a point, and I don't even know exactly when it happened, but there came a point when I started loving them and expressing it to them and telling them that I cared about them. And then, you know, just to praise God, Wednesday morning we had 15 of those people, 10 girls, 5 guys. 9 of them have prayed to accept Christ. You know, not same guy, same message, always before. No difference, except one thing. Love. Because love, all this knowledge and all this good that's in here, without love, it's nothing, folks. And we all need to examine ourselves. Where do you serve? What do you do? We got people in here that teach Sunday school. We got people in here that serve in the nursery. You serve in the nursery. Do you love those kids? Ask God to give you a love for them. You know, you teach children in there. Do you love those kids? Ask God to give you a love for them. God's been working on me a lot of years on this, because I am not. I admit it. I am not the most compassionate person ever walked on the planet. Say amen, Deb. But you know, there came a day when I started asking God to give me compassion for people, because God convicted me about it. He said, he did. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And one day God hit me over the head with that verse. Because I put the dots together. Well, that means if I don't have mercy, then I'm not going to receive any. The merciful obtain mercy. So what does that infer? If you're not merciful, you're not going to get mercy. And God broke me. And I started, I didn't even know how to be compassionate. I didn't even know how to even approach that topic. And I just had to ask God. I said, God, put something, change something. I don't even know what to change. And He did. We were singing that song, Agnes Day. I had to make sure I didn't say Angus. But man, I couldn't finish half of it because I welled up inside. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. The power of the gospel is rooted in love. So what I learned was, you can give the gospel all you want, but if you don't have love, it's empty. And all those verses, I probably could have studied a long time, but this morning when God moved on me, I woke up and it's like, this doesn't happen often, folks. I mean, God, I try to walk with Him, especially according to messages and things like that. I feel a real responsibility in this. And I'd prepared, but He woke me up this morning, and I'm laying there in bed, and like I got this Agnes Day song in my head. And I'm thinking about all this, what I just shared with you. And I just got up and I'm like, Lord, where are the verses? Because me, I don't know addresses. And I wrote down a few verses on this card. I sat down, I opened my Bible up, and I'm like, oh, wow, there's a good one. And it all kind of went together, made sense. And I wish all my sermons came together that easy. But, without the love, it's empty. And I think the reason the church struggles in America today, we've lost our voice in society and in the culture, because we're condemning. Oh, you do this, or name the sins. You realize, you think about the scriptures, the gospels especially. As far as I can tell, the only people Jesus criticized was the religious ones. The self-righteous. And I think perhaps unconsciously, we kind of are self-righteous when it comes to people that do drugs, people, sexual practices and people that are alcoholics and these unwed mothers and whatever, because we could sit there and go, well, if they hadn't, you sleep around, you reap what you sow. We could say that. And you do. Every one of these girls is. You don't have to pronounce that on them. They live it. Where's the love in all that? Those are people that Jesus died for because of His love. And Jesus came against the Pharisees because they were self-righteous. And I think we just need to ask God to forgive us, because we've put a lot of things between us and God and us and people. I'm not saying on purpose. I'm not saying vindictively. I just think sometimes we just kind of drift into that somehow. And then we need to examine. Ask him to forgive you, and then ask him to reveal to you where you're at, why you do what you do. Why do you sing? Why do you play an instrument? Why do you teach a class? Why do you preach a sermon? Why do you come out on Thursday and feed some people? Why do you do whatever? We need to examine that. Because if love is not in there somewhere, you're doing it on your own. And there's no power. Have every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anyone here today that would say, Brother Mike, you're talking about all this love stuff, and I have never experienced the love of God because I have never asked God to forgive me. I've never admitted that I'm a sinner. I've never trusted in Jesus Christ to pay the price for my sin. There is no way there can be love in me of this magnitude, of this nature, because I'm not born again. I've never accepted Christ my Savior. Anybody like that, lift your hand up. I want to pray for you. Listen, the Lord loves you. I love you. How many here today would say, Brother Mike, God has exposed some issues in me that I need to consider? Anybody like that? I'm just going to keep it simple. God bless you. God bless you. You know, I don't know what God has revealed to you, but all you have to do is ask him to forgive you, and he will. And then ask him to show you how to express love, and he will, because he is love, and he's in you. If God is in you and he is love, then you have love within you that's waiting to be showered on other people. We really need to get back to the basics. Whatever it is that we do all to the glory of God because of our love for him. And our love for him is because of his love for us. And we've got to love people because God loves people. All people. Heavenly Father, Lord God, forgive us for our natural tendency to be self-centered, to think it's about us in a lot of ways. God, you are an awesome God. Help us to understand love in a greater way. Lord, may your Spirit manifest himself in a mighty way that we would show love to you, to one another, and to a lost and dying world. Help us, Lord, to not do things in our wisdom or in our motives, but Lord, that our motives would be pure and that our wisdom would come from you and not of ourselves. And that we would have the courage to act and to not just say these words, Lord, but to live them, to walk in them as your word told us. May we be obedient children, showing our love to you by loving others as well. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, most of all for Jesus Christ. Without him, we wouldn't have a clue how to love. But we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. This is your time. If you need to come forward and just make things right with God, you do so. This is your moment to deal with God. This is because this church is not going to go anywhere without love. Now is your time. Take advantage of it. I'm here. I'll pray. pray with you if you need prayer. Now's the time. To reflect that love. Help us, Lord, that we would really comprehend the depth of your love for us as individuals and for people in general, Lord, and that you love everyone. And may your love manifest through us, Lord, to one another when we're down and we need to lift one another up in love. And then to a lost and dying world, Lord, that you sent your Son to die for. Lord, may we love like you love. That your power would be revealed through salvation, through lives turning around, through just great, marvelous works in this land, Lord. It will all start with love. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to have, I want the praise team to come up. I want you all to sing from your heart. Come on up. We've done this one before, but it's just what we need. We need more love. We need more power. And we can't do it on our own. It's not ours. It's His. And we just got to submit ourselves to it.